Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to everyone here. Just say amen to what was shared this morning. Thank you, Brother Dale, for those words of the deep words, deeper than just simply the experience. I appreciated that. I think we, even today, face some of those things, even in our own personal life. Sometimes good experiences, we can look back to the experience instead of maybe the lesson that God wanted to teach us through that experience, and just appreciated that, those thoughts concerning the transfiguration of Christ. I think I have some good things to meditate on. I appreciate that. Yeah, this morning it's been a message that I've thought about and pondered on some for some time, that I want to preach on sometime. And I felt led that this morning I should preach this message. And I'm not thinking of any specific person or specific things in your life, but just more as a need, I think, in this day and age that we live in, even in our own circles. A question, I guess, that is good for me to ask myself, and I believe good for us all to ask ourselves. The title, I'll just write it up here. Is at whose feet are you sitting? It's a question. At whose feet are you sitting? I'm not quite sure. I think there was maybe a message, something down this line that was preached some time ago. I'm not sure who it was. Maybe it was you, Brother Dale, back in, if I remember right, it was in Greenville, Tennessee. I wasn't there, but I think there was a message that had a similar title. I didn't re-listen to that message. I probably should have. So I would catch some, whoever it was that preached something down this line, but that message made an impression in my mind about the need of considering this question in my life. And yeah, I'm not sure if it was you, Brother Dale, or if it was Philip Rudolph, or who. It was somebody that I would have known in, times past already. And I'm not sure which year it was that it was preached, but it was in, I think if I remember right, it was in Greenville, Tennessee, East Tennessee, somewhere there. if my memory doesn't do me wrong, but, I think it's a good thing for us to ask, at whose feet are we sitting? Maybe you say, well, I'm not sitting down at anybody's feet. I'm not doing anything like that. I really believe that all of us, even myself, even though I'm standing behind the pulpit this morning, in life, I am sitting, underneath somebody's, or at somebody's feet, even in this world. And I think, we would all like to say we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We sing that song, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and I think that is very important. We do need to sit at the feet of Jesus. I do think that we also sit at other people's feet. We have other, and what I mean by that, we have other mentors as well that speak into our life and influence us tremendously. It's just that way. None of us can get away from that. Who I make my teacher, I become like that person. And those things, that's a question that you and I can, we have a choice this morning, who that would be. We have that choice. God has given us that choice. The end of that choice, is largely determined by our teacher. Who we make to be our teacher, who we give that privilege to be our teacher, it makes a huge, I feel, I believe it actually has an eternal impact on us, who you and I, at whose feet we are sitting. It's that important, I believe. Some things for us to consider. I'm just going to throw these things out just as a, I want you to think about these things as we look at scriptures. And I'll maybe even give some examples of my own life, some things that I saw as well. but I believe our teacher shapes our view of marriage. Right? Our teacher shapes our view of marriage. If you go down here to some of the churches, you know, actually many of the churches around in the area, and you ask them, maybe you have issues with your wife and you left her and you whatever, they will give you advice to divorce, or even possibly remarry, you know. I don't know to what extent some of those preachers go to, but I know we've had some even pass through here with those same things. But when people, when you listen, when you sit at those people's feet, it will change your view of marriage and what the Bible teaches, even what they think or what they say that the Bible says when it does not say. But your teachers will influence you. And it will also, our teachers will shape our view of a godly home. It makes a huge difference. I believe Denny Kennison, some of the messages, the things that he taught, I think many of those things, I know I haven't just read his entire book. I have listened to some of his, when I was a young man, probably the age of you, Daniel, or all the way up to Sherwin's age, I listened in person with some of his messages on the godly home. Many of those teachers, those moments were moments of sitting at his feet and learning. And I believe many good things I learned from Brother Denny in those things. but our teacher shapes our view of our godly home. Our teacher views shapes our view of church. What's church about? You ask one person that's had a bad experience with, you know, maybe leadership, struggling with leadership, struggling with even just church brotherhood and so forth, and then you sit at his feet, you will probably also find yourself struggling with leadership and struggling with brotherhood. Those things, at whose feet are we sitting? Our taste for music. Whose feet we're sitting at will affect our taste of music. are you following those things? I want you all to think where it connects, for you. For instance, if I know as a young person, and you may not even be necessarily looking to somebody to give you instructions on music, but as a young person, we used to listen a bit to the Yodersingers. I don't know, some of you might know them, know of them. and when I was a young person, at the earliest stage, I would feel like they were actually fairly spiritual minded. I would feel. And I don't want to judge where they're at now, but there has been an obvious moving. And if you sit at their feet, you will find yourself moving with them. And there's a time coming where we have to get up and no longer be sitting underneath their feet. I don't know, that gives you a little example of that. And I think another example of that would be Garment of Praise. They used to be at a place where it may have been okay, but now where they're going and where they've been at here recently, I believe it would give you, it would teach us wrong things about music, wrong things about even just about God and holiness and reverence and so forth. But at whose feet you sit at, you will think differently than even what I said about some of those very basic things of even on music. You will find yourself struggling with that depending at whose feet you're sitting. If you're enjoying those things, you're going to struggle with that. And I just would encourage you, I would plead with you to consider that as something that perhaps is influencing your way of thinking. The same thing is true, our taste for fellowship, who we fellowship with. Those things affect us tremendously. Our style of clothing, the way that we dress ourselves, the way that we conduct ourselves in clothes, you know, and what we put on ourselves is a huge impact. And and who our peers are is who we're trying to impress, and maybe who our teacher is trying to impress. It rolls off on us. It pushes down on us. So anyway, we see all these things. We notice that has that impact. We aren't victims this morning, okay? I don't want you to feel like you are a victim, that you have to sit underneath my pulpit here and you or sit here and you have to listen to me. You actually don't have to. You can get up and you can walk out and you can leave. You have that choice. We choose, the first point I'd like to really make here is we choose our teacher. We choose our teacher. Now I know you children, daddy says you sit here, you need to listen to this preacher. There is a time coming though when you have that choice where you no longer have to listen to that preacher maybe or whatever. Maybe it's still, I don't believe that scripturally that you would ever have the option to dishonor parents though. Even if you would feel differently, I think there's a way to honorably find another congregation and so forth. But we choose our teacher. We have a choice whether or not we want to listen. Also, we can sit here but not really connect and not really sit there with trying to learn. I have some scriptures here. I'm not going to have you read or pass, turn to all of them here. But here's some verses that make me think of us having a choice. And God, basically, I mean, I don't just have a verse that very clearly just says that for people. It does say that concerning life and death. But here's some verses that talk about some of that, the impact or the consequences of choosing. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And so basically, I think the Apostle Paul is just alerting us to the fact that what maybe even just simply that he's not asking this question, but in light of the fact, the reality that your communications could affect even the good manners that you have. And so that's in light of that, we can ask that same question, you know, at whose feet are we sitting? If it's evil communications, if there's a lot of foul language coming from someone, we will find ourselves when something, for instance, if you all that work at the barn shop and you, I know you don't use hammers anymore, you use nailers, but if the nail shoots shoots in through your foot, and you hear this person or that person use foul language when they hurt themselves, before you know it, that same thing will slip out. Evil communications corrupt good manners. They tear down, they destroy what once was good. At whose feet are we sitting? And that's, I want us to think about that. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. This is then on the positive side also. it's not all negative. At whose feet you're sitting, there's a very positive side. This is where I like this about Proverbs. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man. Okay, he's sitting at somebody's feet. This wise man is sitting at somebody's feet, and he will be yet wiser. Okay? Teach a just man, and he will increase the in learning. Just because I'm here behind the pulpit doesn't mean that I am wiser than you. Okay? And it doesn't mean that you are not wise by sitting here. You, as we look in the Word of God, a wise person, I believe also that scripture fits in where it says, wisdom that is from above is first pure and teachable. You know, it's teachable, that wise heart. We are opening ourselves to input from others. We recognize we don't have all the answers. We recognize that. So give instruction to a wise man, somebody that's learned that I don't have all the answers. And they will be yet wiser. They will be yet wiser. And I don't believe that this wise man or this wisdom that he's talking about a person just simply with knowledge. You know, you can have knowledge and you can outsmart somebody and say a whole bunch of things to outsmart, make a wisecrack, you know, or make some statement that I can try to make some statement that Jared just doesn't know, or Myron or Daniel or whatever, just to be wiser, to appear wiser. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a wise man. What I get a picture of is somebody that has a lot of information, a lot of understanding, but he's just there. He's there to learn. He's there to open his heart to that. And he will learn something new, I believe. A humble, just with that humble heart and yet yearning for more. Proverbs 1, 5, and 6 also says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And so this wise man, he will hear. And what is he doing? you get the picture of someone, students in the class, or somebody sitting at the feet of another person learning, just simply learning. Just like this morning, the children gathering up here in the front and Brother Joseph teaching them. You know, they were sitting at the feet of Joseph. They were learning. And here a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. Also, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. Hopefully, you can turn to that one if you want to. I'm not going to just spend a lot of time on that, but I hope I'm not taking that scripture out of context. But we choose our teacher, and I believe it's important that we know our teacher, I guess, in light of this scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 to 13, it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. That know them which labor among you, I believe that what that's referring to is you're a little careful who you know some background of who this person is that you're listening to and that are laboring, those that are preaching the word. The reason I think that's important, you can have even, I believe today we have a lot of TV preachers, a lot of maybe even YouTube preachers, and they can be, they can sound very good and gotten, and actually they have very good messages, many of them, But when you go to their life, go to their home life, go to their job, go to their daily interactions, and maybe even their marriage life, and it's a mess. It's a mess, you know, and I'm not saying all of them are that way, but if it's easy for us to think that that's, this is just a great speaker, great preacher, great whatever, but if the life doesn't match up, something's wrong. And I believe that's where the Apostle Paul is asking us to know, is the preaching, is it matching up to what we are saying, what the preacher is saying, or what the person that's laboring among you is saying? Is that life matching? and it makes an impact, I think, of how well that message comes across because of the life that's lived as well. That doesn't mean that there's not any, absolutely no fault or no blemish and so forth, but I do believe that there should be a general consistency of expressing godliness there. But we choose, and we have a choice to make, to know those among us that labor. We choose our teachers. So point number two, we sit at the feet of our teacher. So first we choose our teacher, and then we sit at the feet of our teacher. And you notice a progression that happens there. That just makes me think of this scripture in, I didn't write this down, but makes me think of, I love this picture in Psalm 1. A very beautiful picture of that going on. It says in Psalm chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And it goes on and talks about the fruit that comes out of that person's life. But I see a clear progression there. Just like we're looking at this for the teacher, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, first he's walking there. The one that would be ungodly. You know, that's one thing he doesn't do. The next thing he doesn't do is he doesn't stop and stand with the sinners. And then after you stand, you sit. There's a progression that happens if we follow, in either way, whether we walk with the Lord or whether we walk with the counsel of the ungodly. But so we choose our teacher, and then we sit at the feet of them. And how do we sit at the feet of a teacher? Just like I was using that example of the Yoder singers, you know, we listen to them a fair amount, and I do think it affected some of my way of thinking, you know, just listening. And I know some of you have, you know, listened to other groups and so forth, and you have your own story in those things. But they affect our way of thinking. If you listen to country music, before you know, your mind will start, not just your mind, your mouth will start going the same way that you are listening. You sit there and you listen, and as you are listening, you are sitting at their feet. And that is also true, I believe, and this is where I believe we need to be careful with messages. Even messages, CDs, downloads, whatever, YouTube, we need to be careful with these things. They can be very good. They can be very good, but they can also be very, very dangerous. So that's the thing that I want us to think about it. Whose feet are we sitting at? I know there was one brother that had wanted me to listen to some, messages by, I think it was, church in Europe there, and just some of the, some of the Pentecostal views, or Pentecostal, Protestant views. Protestant views that are pushed in very subtle ways in some of those messages, and I think we need to be careful. I need to be careful, you know, even in checking out, even in researching, even in looking into those things. Because what ends up happening, if I feed on that, and if I feed on that, and feed on that, I find myself sitting there, and I find myself eating what they're presenting. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, if you would. Here we have an example of someone sitting at the feet of a teacher, and more than a teacher. I love this picture here. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It's this story of Mary and Martha. At least it's the story when Jesus came to eat with them, or seemed to have wanted to pass some time there with them. And a very interesting observation there, if we take note of it there. It says, Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Here, Mary and Martha. Martha seemed to be very much an outgoing person, very godly, would you say? I believe a very godly woman. And here she had a sister, Mary. And Martha was so busy with things, so cumbered about with so much serving, so many things going on, so much just happening. Sometimes I find myself like Martha too much, not doing enough of sitting, sitting there at Jesus' feet. But here Mary was, she found a special treasure that was not going to be taken away. Jesus said, look, I'm not going to take that away. And she found herself at Jesus' feet. She had chosen her teacher. She had made that choice, and she had made a good choice, according to what Jesus was telling us. She had made a good choice to sit at Jesus' feet. And I believe even today, we can sit at Jesus' feet, in a sense, by prayer. We can also do it by reading the Word. We can also have that posture as we fellowship with others. But primarily, I would think, just simply, in prayer before the Lord, we can experience some of the same thing that, Mary experienced here, as we are alone with God, and push out some of the cumbersome, the work, the duties, and all those things. We have the privilege to sit at the feet of our teacher. Also in Luke chapter 8, verse 35, I'm just going to read that one. Unless you all want to look there, you can. Luke chapter 8, 35, there's the story of this man that was possessed with a demon. And he had come, and the devil had, I guess, presented him there before Jesus and had asked him to leave him alone, and then had asked to go to the swine instead of being cast out completely out of this world. And Jesus had left him do that. But what we find after that is when the devil had left him and this man, I believe was born again. I believe he was changed. Something happened. Something transpired there in a very deep way. In verse 35, it says, then they went out to see what was done. This was the city. The city came out and the people in the city and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And here this man, he had made Jesus his teacher. And I believe what impact that had on him, he was clothed and he was in his right mind. Notice the impact who our teacher is. It affects everything. Yeah, very, very, in a very, very rich way, in a very positive way, if we choose the right teacher. And Jesus is, of course, the ultimate teacher. But I do believe also we have teachers. The Bible is clear on that, that the church has teachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, and so on. And that's how God ordained it to be as well. But it does matter at whose feet we sit and listen to. Also in Acts chapter 22, so we sit at the feet of our teacher. Is another example of Paul. Acts 22, verse 3, it says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. In other words, he was referring to his upbringing. He was referring to his schooling. He was referring to his education. I know I find it interesting sometimes. The other week when I was there in Dallas, that conference, almost everybody, when they give their speech, whatever, they tack on all their, accomplishments, their graduation there, where they graduated from, which college, which degree they have in this part and that part, and which company they worked at and so forth. And I guess maybe here was Paul doing a little bit the same thing. I don't know. But I think his point wasn't so much that he was, that not to make, bring credibility to himself in that sense, but they understood. You know what? This man knows what he's talking about. They connected with what Paul was sharing there. But I believe that shaped Paul in many ways. Sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, his character and so forth. And I know he there's places where he says that all those things that he learned out of the law, the past, he counts those things as dung. He throws that all aside as and so forth. And he's going on and pressing on for a higher call. And I believe that was true in Paul's life. But it still, I believe, it had a great impact on his character, his zeal, his fervor, and really even how God could use him, I believe. By the mentors in his life. So I don't think it was a negative thing for him, to be there at the feet of Gamaliel, though he didn't necessarily count that as being such a great thing at that time anymore. I don't think, Paul was, counting those things as dung for the excellency of Christ, I believe. but he was, found himself sitting at someone's feet. Also in Second Timothy chapter 1, This is another just kind of a little story that or an example of what is referred to as someone sitting at another person's feet. I didn't actually see it saying that Timothy was necessarily being taught at the feet of his mother and grandmother. But you see that being alluded to in these verses. I think that's what it's referring to. If you read here in 2 Timothy verse, chapter 1 verse 3 to 5 there, it says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee and in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. You see that? Grandma was teaching daughter. Daughter was teaching the next grandchild. Here Timothy was. Timothy, I don't believe, would have been the man of God had he not sat at his mother's feet like he did. And Paul was complimenting that. He was pointing that out. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and then he says, why it's in you. You notice that? He says, he's like, I'm so glad for the faith that is found in you. I'm so glad for that. Who was first in your grandma? You know. And then in your mother. And now in you. A beautiful thing. A beautiful picture of sitting at the feet of your teacher. also in Galatians 5, I'm not going to read that, but that's an example of a bad influence. The Apostle Paul points out, I'm not going to go into the details of what they did wrong, but there was a, seemed like the Galatians, in Galatians 3 it is, it talks about, I'm just going to read the first verse there where it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And so he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Why did you lose your way? Why they didn't, they apparently started sitting at somebody else's feet. They apparently started sitting at somebody's feet who had, if I understand it right, there was confusion about the law and the keeping of the law and bringing that in as a piece of salvation or some of the Judaizer element there, if I understand some of those things that they were struggling with. But somehow, somebody, and even that makes me think of the Apostle Peter. Remember that story when Peter was there with the believers, I believe it was it at Antioch? Where they had believed and Peter was there and at first he was with the Gentiles and then he, when the Jews showed up from Jerusalem to check up on this thing, Peter was thinking this is all right, you know, and it was okay for the Gentiles to be there. But suddenly when some others showed up, he got influenced, and even Barnabas, who was then maybe sitting at Peter's feet, ended up almost losing his way because of this, until Paul stepped in and said, now wait a minute, this is not right. You see how much we're influenced? Even Peter? Even Barnabas? And who are we? You know, that we think, I can listen to that CD. I can listen to that message. Doesn't really matter. I believe it will influence us. There's a tremendous power in that, in who we, so we have a choice to make. And I want us to just to sink down in our heart. I want us to get that choice that we have, before we're deceived. We have a choice to make, and sometimes maybe not, because we don't know the outcome, perhaps. That's where we need each other. But we have a choice to make who our teacher is, and we can change who that teacher is. But if we are influenced by our teacher, and because of the fact that we sit at our teacher's feet there. Those are some examples there. The next point, so the first point again was we choose our teacher. The next point was we sit at the feet of our teacher, and we become a teacher, was the last point I have here. We become a teacher. First of all, we choose a teacher. Who's our teacher? You know, now, you know, our children, many of them are, maybe they don't have much choice. They're just homeschooled. They just kind of have to do whatever. But as life goes on, we soon have the ability to choose who, at whose feet we sit at. And then we sit at the feet of our teacher. We learn from them. And young boys, young men, even things like hunting, fishing, some of those things, I know there's that those desires are there, and I think they can be fine and good and right. But if you do well, if you sit at the feet of people who have made that thing their God, you will find yourself doing the same thing. It shapes us. It molds us. And so I think we need to be careful. Even you young boys, I would encourage you, make some of the older grandpas be your teacher. Okay? That's a very, very practical thing. I know I've told my boys that. I've encouraged my boys. That doesn't mean you have to talk to them all the time, but take opportunities to make them be your teachers. You can learn a lot from grandpa. You can learn a lot from the older brothers here. And so, and some of the reason for that is one day you're going to be a teacher. One day you and I are going to be a teacher. And yet even while, which I feel like, I know I'm at that stage where I am teaching, but I'm still learning. I'm still going through that cycle. I'm still choosing. I'm still sitting, and I'm teaching. And it ends up reciprocating. You understand that? It makes sense. As we go through life, we do that. Even you young boys, you learn something. You sit at somebody's feet. You teach. You have that opportunity. Even at your age, all of us have that opportunity. There's somebody younger, somebody else that hasn't learned what we have learned. And we can teach, and we can do it in a humble way, in a good way. But we need to be careful, though, because it leads us in a good or a bad way. It can influence us. So we become a teacher. In Matthew 28:18, let's turn to that. Matthew 28, Jesus is telling us, he's commanding us to be a teacher. So whether you consider yourself a teacher or not, you are called to be a teacher. I believe so. I believe this is for all of us. It's not just for the preacher that goes to Africa or to South America, or for the one that goes to inner cities, or for the one behind the pulpit here. It's not just for those. I believe it's for all of us, for all his disciples. Matthew 28:18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." You've been taught. You've sat at the feet of a teacher. Now go teach. You see? You've made a choice of who your teacher is. You sat at his feet. Now go teach. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them. Again, teaching, teaching, teaching. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here we see even the teacher is going to go with us even to the end of the world. How beautiful. How wonderful. The teacher that has taught us is willing to go with us even to the end of the world. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of a teacher. And Jesus, of course, is our perfect example in that. Also, 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn to this, 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, it says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of the Lord, that is in the Lord, in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the things that you and I have learned, and I know maybe this is for you, Brother Dale, the things that you have learned, committing those to faithful brothers, to others that are able to carry that on. And I believe the older we get, that should be more and more our heart, our goal is to pass it on to faithful ones, to those that have cherished the truth and are able to carry that on. Here we see that that example. Commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Those that have done that, those that are doing that, what a blessing. In closing here, I'd like to just share just a few examples of where I took teaching or some of these things of sitting at the feet of our teacher seriously in my own life. An example of that. I know when we were in parochial school, we used to use some of the Abeka school books and just some of the curriculum in there has quite a patriotic push on in those, which I haven't even seen the later ones, what they would have today, but when we started with our homeschooling, that was part of the reason why we steered away from that, is because of the push of patriotism basically to the country of the United States, and basically spiritualizing it, making it be spiritual, and the thing that we were concerned about, that it would shape our way of thinking as well as our children's way of thinking of the country, and of just political things and so forth. But that's a little example of us choosing who would be our teacher, who would be our mentor. And that's just one little example that that I feel we can practically apply who our teacher is. And I'm not saying that everything that Rebecca has or does is bad. Especially in light of history, there's very strong push on that side of things. Some of the other things, not so much so, but they wouldn't hold, in many ways, don't hold the same values that we would hold dear from what the Bible would teach. And so for that reason, we chose not to sit at the feet of Rebecca. I don't know if that makes sense. another thing, this is just... I kind of forget some of the details, but if you would have just simply told me, just as a passing fact, probably I would have hardly believed you that I would someday make a trip, not only one, but I think two or three, I forget how many it was, to some little islands out in the bay of Haiti, the little country of Haiti there, with a tiny little skiff, a tiny little boat. I mean, I think it was a 14 footer, a little metal, aluminum, tub, thing and going out to sea with a little thing like that. If you would have probably just told me that, I'd have said, uh-uh, not on the ocean. You don't do something like that on the ocean. But I I listened often enough to another person that said he did it, and he did it. He even took it all the way out to Lagunov, which is twice the distance. And those islands, by the way, I just checked this morning because I was like, I just hardly could believe it that what I was told, but I checked and verified that they were, the route that we took would have been about 5 miles out to sea. But the point that I want to make is I listened. Somebody told me it can be done, told me you can do it safely, which I'm not quite sure how wise it was. Some of the experiences we had, you know, the waves go, they're a lot more rolling out there than our little lakes are around here, but it could be done. But why did I believe it could be done? Because I heard and I heard and I heard it again. I received it. Who is my teacher? You know, you see how that impacts my mind? I'm like, you know what? I would actually desire to do that now because, and also it seems like a little challenge. And it's also possible because another person did it. Another reputable person, somebody that knew they used to go out almost every week. They'd go out, sometimes doing snorkeling and things like that. So I figured he knows what he's talking about. At whose feet am I sitting? You know, that impacted my way of thinking tremendously. Another thing that I thought about, the Haitians, they struggle with this thing, not all of them, but many of the young children, they struggle with, as we were there in Haiti, really thinking that they stole. They almost don't accept that fact that they stole unless they're caught. Especially that little petty stuff. You know, if you have, let's say something's in our mailbox in the back there and, that would be a neat little thing. Maybe one of you puts your phone back in there and you don't want to carry it with you in the auditorium. You leave your phone back in the mailbox. But, you know, nobody sees it. Pull it out, stick it in my pocket and go. And they don't even bat an eye to lie about it. But it's because they see it over and over and over. They hear it over and over and over. It seems like unless they are caught, the reality of them lying, the reality of them stealing isn't true. At whose feet are they sitting when they hear that? And I know we're taught from little up, lying is absolutely wrong. Stealing is absolutely wrong. You don't do any of those things. Even if no one sees you here on this earth, God still sees you. You know, we're taught those things. At whose feet are we sitting? You notice how that shapes the young one's mind. They can do that, and nobody knows, and their conscience isn't there. That shapes their character. That shapes who they are. That shapes how they think. When you confront them on something, they struggle a lot more to even accept it as them really having done wrong. It's, you know, until they're caught. But I believe it goes back to at whose feet are we sitting? And I just again just want to just have us think about that reality or that question. At whose feet are we sitting at this morning? It has a tremendous outcome. And brothers and sisters, I believe it has a huge impact on where we go as a church as well. We can, whose ears or who we go to listen or that we listen at whose feet makes a huge difference on the outcome of our response to the future. It has a huge impact and it's a very serious thing. I don't think we should take those things lightly at all. I think we need to take them seriously and pray, even like Brother John was sharing this morning, that we would take these things very prayerfully and consider, because we can be deceived by sitting at someone's feet who is also deceived and is influencing us and with wrong ways of teaching, wrong ways of thinking of things. And just these are sobering things for me to ponder. These are things that I think of. These are things that shape us here and now. They shape us and they'll shape us, our children, they'll shape the next generation. And let's not take those things lightly. It's a very beautiful thing when we surround ourselves with good, godly, wholesome teaching. Good, godly teaching. And I know sometimes we need each other's help to find those, because sometimes we don't see clearly. Many times we don't, just by ourselves. We need that input from other people, just to have that humility to reach out to other brothers, other older brothers, for counsel is an excellent way for us to, just to open ourselves to that influence. So, God bless you.